50 years ago, 89 Native Americans set out into the San Francisco Bay by boats. Their destination was Alcatraz Island, home of the infamous federal prison that had closed 16 years earlier. They claimed the island as occupying protesters for 19 months, a demonstration against the federal government for seizing and occupying Native American lands for centuries. The occupation was peaceful, but after dragging out for nearly 2 years without any serious attention being given to the group's demands, the protest petered out. Still, the event became a touchstone for Native American activism, and joining us to discuss the occupation of Alcatraz is Kent Blansett, an associate professor of Native American history at the University of Nebraska and author of the book A Journey to Freedom, Richard Oakes, Alcatraz, and the Red Power Movement. Kent, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So give us some relatively brief background on this, because I know there's a lot to get to. What led to the specific occupation in 1969, and why Alcatraz? Why was that the symbol there?
Okay, that's a great question and perfect place to start. First off, it was really a student-led movement. Students had organized and created ethnic studies walking out of their classrooms. Faculty walked out of their classrooms to be able to create the first ever ethnic studies programs at San Francisco State College and Berkeley there in San Francisco. And in so doing, they wanted their classrooms to kind of represent the street. They wanted to represent their realities. They needed to see classes in Black studies and Native studies, as well as Chicanx studies and Latinx studies. And out of this first class in Native American studies, there was two key leaders, Richard Oakes, who is from Akwesasne, who is Mohawk, and then Lenita Means, who is Shoshone Bannock from Fort Hall Reservation in Idaho. Lenita was a part of the student movement at Berkeley, and Richard was a part of the student movement at San Francisco State. And the students really wanted to create a movement to draw attention. They wanted to create an ultimate symbol that would bring media attention finally to issues that were occurring all throughout Indian country. And Alcatraz represented that perfect symbol. For one, it was a prison that had been banned by the federal government in 1963 and declared surplus property. And the students were made aware of an earlier treaty by the Lakota with the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, which surplus federal property would revert back over to the Lakota Nation. So they use that as kind of a precedence. And then they use Supreme Court doctrine or law, and they would make a claim to Alcatraz Island by right of discovery. And why the students really wanted Alcatraz is that Alcatraz represented this great street theater. It represented kind of every reservation. It represented the abandonment of the federal government to treaty rights. It represented the abandonment of the federal government to indigenous rights in general. And the fact that there was no running water, there was no electricity, there was no mineral wealth, there was no jobs, there was no health care, there was no education on this island. It represented the perfect metaphor to be able to educate the country about indigenous rights issues. So they really took it upon themselves to try to make a greater difference and impact in Indian country with this takeover. Now, of course, the takeover was supposed to be initially in the summer when the students were out of campus so that they wouldn't lose their standing at their university. But one major event really kind of upped the timeline. And in October of 1969, the Indian Center, which was the heart and soul of the Indian city of San Francisco, caught on fire, and it really drove the dates up into November of 1969, which would be kind of the D-Day for the takeover.
And Kent, we mentioned 19 months, and you mentioned media as well. Briefly, how did the media end up covering this? Were they seen as in a sympathetic way?
The media really ate it up, and this brought international attention, at least the press from Germany, Japan, from England, from all over the United States were covering Alcatraz, and it was, you know, above the fold, front page headlines. And what it did is it also brought it to the attention of the Richard Nixon White House. Nixon automatically was billing himself as kind of the Indian president in the 1968 campaign in 69. And so what this did is for the students, they were able to kind of dramatize what the policies like termination legislation and relocation were doing as destructive policies in Indian country. And they made significant change. It got the Richard Nixon White House's attention. Nixon obviously did not, at least a lot of his aides, Leonard Garment, didn't want to remove students automatically. They feared bad press because the press was on the side of the movement. It was hard for the press to argue against the fact that indigenous peoples had been the most invisible minority within the country. And in fact, a lot of our treaty rights having been ignored, it was something that Nixon was interested in because they were also wanting to handle the Alaska Native Claims Settlement. There was oil at stake in Alaska, and there was a treaty involved with that with Russia, which is kind of fascinating because Russia essentially sells us Alaska, and the first thing that we had to do to get the mineral wealth out is handle those Alaskan Native Claims Settlements. So it was kind of the right time to get the attention of the White House. And out of this, Nixon will eventually pass new legislation, which will be self-determination legislation, or kick that start, in which 26 pieces of self-determination legislation will be passed. He'll end the termination and relocation policy in 1970 as kind of an answer to this as well. So the press played a really large role, and this would gain also attention not only in Look and Life magazine and Time magazine, but then you would have media attention like Good Housekeeping that was covering this as well.
And Ken, I'm sorry, there's so much more to talk about. We just had a limited amount of time. I'm going to have to stop you there. So much more to talk about, though. Ken Blancett, Associate Professor of Native American History at the University of Nebraska. Thank you.
Thank you so much.